Pastors love it when they get a chance to be fed, because when we're up here doing ministry, we're really feeding others and giving of ourselves. So I'm blessed today to have with us Bishop Brenda Boss to deliver the message for today on Mother's Day. Bishop Boss is the first openly lesbian bishop called to serve in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now in her third year in office, Bishop Boss spends a great deal of time finding hope in the midst of constant change. Before becoming bishop, she served as an assistant to the bishop for rostered leadership and served a congregation in San Clemente, California. Her wife, Janice, and she enjoys hiking and their dogs and chasing their six-year-old granddaughter around the playground. Thank you, Bishop Boss, for being with us today.
I do like to brag about chasing our granddaughter around, because I have, you know, I look like an old person, and I'm usually at the playground with a lot of younger parents who are always like, wow, how do you do that? Wow, how do you do that? I'm like, because it's, you know, two days of every 6 weeks as opposed to every day, and so we have a little bit more energy. It is good to be with you. Thank you for the invitation. I love being with Bethel, and so it's good to be back. It's a challenge to preach on Mother's Day, because some people are like, oh, I went to church and they didn't talk about Mother's Day at all. What's wrong with those people? And other people are like, oh my God, why did they talk about Mother's Day? It's like, it's not a good day for me. And so it's hard to find the right balance. And so I went kind of a different way today, and I decided to talk about Jesus' mother, Mary. Now, don't worry, you're not Jesus, and your mom's not Mary, so don't worry if you go, we do not line up, because none of us do, right? But I did something today I never do, which was when Dawn asked me, what's your title of your sermon? And I thought, I don't give titles to my sermon, because sometimes I change my sermon as I'm driving to the church, and I thought, I hate to be sort of stuck. You'll never see me with slides, right? Because I'm never going to prepare like that. But my title of my message is, it always begins at home, or it always starts at home. And the reason I picked that is, for better or for worse, right? We have been launched by what happened in our homes. And for some of us, we were privileged to have actually a fantastic launch that gave us a lot of stability and a lot of wisdom and a lot of health and security. And for others of us, we never had that. And we've been trying to come back from that our whole life. And for a lot of us, we have a lot of feelings when it comes to Mother's Day, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's about our own mom, and sometimes it's about our own kids, or our lack of kids, or kids came out differently than we expected, or any number of things, which is why it's a hot issue to talk about. And here I am, diving right in. So the passage I picked is called the Magnificat, and that is, I don't know, a different language, Latin maybe, for magnify. And this story that was read was what Mary said after she went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. Both women were pregnant. Mary had found out that she was going to have the Savior. She's not married. It's a crazy story. It's a bonkers story, and I'm sure she's getting a lot of heat from a lot of people. And she goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who, surprise, surprise, is also pregnant, and Elizabeth is quite old, and the two of them realize that something miraculous is happening in their lives. And so the two of them sort of spend time together and probably swap stories of how they're feeling and how they're hopeful about their children, and then Mary says these words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior," which is really pretty shocking, right? Because she's about to enter into a life that's going to be difficult. Even if her son becomes an amazing thing, people are always going to whisper, "Yeah, but did you hear how he was conceived?" It's always going to be a problem. And Mary says yes to that. And Mary says, "I don't know what God is going to do, but I am going to trust God." Now, the story is that Mary was a virgin, which not only means didn't have a husband or had not had any sort of sex, but also that she was probably quite young. And so it's pretty amazing to think about a young teenager saying yes to God like this. Again, don't worry. I'm not saying that we need to be like Mary. We don't need to be like, we'd love to be like Jesus. We're never going to make it. We don't necessarily have the faith of Mary either. But let me tell you why I'm talking about the mother of Jesus today. Because usually when we think about Jesus, we think, well, he was God's son. Well, he was probably a perfect little boy. Well, then he grew up to be a faithful man, and it's all because God was his father. Yeah, but what if also it's because Mary was his mother? What if actually Jesus learned how to tell stories because his mother told him stories? What if Jesus learned to love the poor and the downtrodden because his mother raised him to do that? I think that's a really interesting idea, that her influence shaped his ministry. But right? Hasn't people in your life, if not your mother, haven't other people shaped your ministry? Well, you say, well, I don't have a ministry. Yeah, but aren't you a product of those who shaped you? Hopefully in positive ways, but maybe in negative ways as well. My mother is still alive. I feel very, very fortunate about that. And I've always thought that my mom was nice and kind and never really very heroic, just sort of moved along doing what my mom does. And she has friends, but she's been sort of a gentle leader. And I always thought, well, okay. And last week, my mother asked me to accompany her to her ex-husband's funeral. Now, this is not my father. This is her second husband. So already you have to say, well, here's a woman who's been married twice. Well, she might have been, she was nice. But bad things happen. And we know that that often happens to kind people, that they just aren't understood or they don't know how to stand up for themselves. And so my mother has a lot of tragedy in her story. So she's invited me to come along to her ex-husband's funeral. Now, I know that this is on Zoom, and I'm praying that my mother never sees this part, but my mother's second husband was not a kind man, and he was not faithful to her, and I'd always promised myself if I ever saw him again, I was going to scream at him, which is not something I do, but I literally would have been always a thought that if I ever see him again, I'm going to tell him what a horrible person he was. And then he died, and they had been 20 years divorced. So, I mean, this man is well out of our family. And yet she's asked me to come to his funeral. Okay, I'll do it. So it's a military funeral, and we're out in Riverside at the National Cemetery for military burials, which is actually really quite amazing. All day long, they're doing official ceremonies. And it's a very small gathering. It's the man's three daughters, all of whom I knew, and a couple of grandchildren, now adults, and a couple of other friends. So there's probably 12 people there. And my mom and I are standing in the back, and everybody's been happy to see her. And one of the daughters gets up and talks about losing her father. And then she says, does anybody else want to talk? And we're standing there, and we're standing there. And my mother says, I'll go. What is happening? She's not have a happy marriage with this man. And my mother is not going to now say, you know, now that he's dead, I'm going to tell the truth. She's not going to be that person. But she comes forward and she says what you would want somebody to say at a funeral like this. She said, your father loved you girls very much. And I know he didn't always get to show that, but I know that you were everything to him. And she sits back down. And afterwards, all of the girls who've always loved her and have always said, we didn't want a stepmother, who does? But they said, you were always kind to us and you were always there for us. And then I realized that the second daughter has had a 30-year career at a college after an interview that my mother got her. And the first daughter got to have her wedding after the venue fell away at the last minute. My mother was able to find her a spot at the college where my mother worked to have her wedding. And at the time, I had said to my mom, you just saved this woman's her wedding. And she was like, it's nothing. And I realized that that person has shaped me. That person who stands up at her ex-husband's funeral, which wasn't so happy, and says a gracious thing, shaped me. That woman who just shows up and does, shaped me. So now we get to this woman, Mary, and how she shaped Jesus. She says some important things, right? That God has scattered those who are proud. God has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. God has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. Doesn't that sound like the kind of mother who raises a boy who goes on to say, the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Doesn't that sound like a woman who raises a man who says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Was he filled with God's spirit? Absolutely. Was he filled with his mother's wisdom? Truly. And this is what I love about this particular passage, that a woman, a gentle human, draws a picture about what the kingdom on earth can look like. That those of us who suffer can be lifted up. That those of us who are too proud can be torn down. And let me tell you, as a bishop, I wonder about that all the time, because I have power in this church. And am I supposed to say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's good, because I'm the humble one? Or am I supposed to quiver and say, you know what, I'm the powerful one now. What might God want to do with me? Because God wants me to follow God. But this gentle woman, we all have them in our lives. Maybe they were a mother, maybe they weren't. Maybe you are that gentle woman, maybe you aren't. But we've all had people who have formed us and shaped us by drawing us a picture of what God could do in this world. How God could use us to bring hope and healing to other people. I know that you are interested in helping Faye Esperanza in Southgate, that you've said, how can we practically help this congregation that has a vital feeding ministry? You know, another thing they have at Faye Esperanza is a women's group. This is the most subversive thing I've ever seen. It looks like women sitting around having coffee. It looks like women talking about their lives. In reality, it's a mental health support group. They bring in nutritionists and therapists. They bring in wellness people. They bring in people who want to check the mom's blood pressure, but they also want to tell them what to do if their son is in trouble. So this women's group is probably saving the lives of everybody in their families, so 20 people meet and 200 people are better. That's what it is to be the church today, is to wonder about the humble, to wonder about the suffering, and to care for them. Another opportunity I want to ask you about is the youth gathering, which is coming this summer to New Orleans. 20,000 ELCA Lutheran young people, high schoolers, will gather in New Orleans for huge worship services, for service projects, for formation as young people who love Jesus. We have been asked as a synod if we can provide scholarships at 10 churches who've done good fundraising, but everything is so much more expensive than it used to be. And so good fundraising that used to be, you know, you wash a couple cars, you throw a couple spaghetti dinners, and you got enough money, each kid needs about $1,500. So a place that has raised several thousand may not be able to send their kids. And so I'm asking congregations to help us send young people to New Orleans for what happens to be one of the most formative faith experiences in a young person's life. So if that's something that you're interested in, we would joyfully receive an offering. You can write a check. You can go to our website, to the SoCalSynod.org, and help young people have this kind of faith formation. Because think about the messages they are getting that we're all getting. You better be tough, you better be smart, you better be rich, you better be talented. And this passage reminds us that the humble, the hungry, are the ones that God wants to lift up. And so we're trying to be part of a faith formation, not only for young people, for all of us. So on this Mother's Day, you might have a wonderful relationship with your mother. Your mother might still be alive. You might not have had good relationships. And yet, God has sent you people, even if it was just for a moment, for one lunch, for a weekend, a teacher, a coach, somebody at one of your churches, who have shaped you and have reminded you that the love of God is real, real. And you have been made all that you are, precious in God's sight. And may you remember that always. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Bishop. We're at the point in our service where we receive our offering, and we're glad to read that first line, if it ever comes up on this screen. But it says that 100% of the money that you give in the offering at this church goes directly to outreach. I want to read it every Sunday that we have this opportunity. Offering, your generosity is changing lives. 100% of your donations goes directly to helping those in need. The offering that you give here at Bethel does not pay rent, does not pay light, does not pay salaries. It goes 100% out into the mission field. And we are proud and happy to be able to say that you are actually giving to the work that we feel called to do in the world. And so one of the things that we have planned in January of 2025, so you might want to mark your calendar, is a mission trip to Guatemala with the congregation that Bishop mentioned earlier in her message. So we want to say a prayer over those who are able to give monetarily and for those who have given up their time and their treasure, talents to this ministry. Let's pray. Gracious God, for the gifts and for the givers, we pause just to say thank you. We thank you that Bethel Encino Lutheran Church is in a position where we can honestly say that the monetary blessings that people give to this ministry, 100% of those gifts are being used to minister to others outside of this congregation. Our burrito ministry and all of the outreach ministries that we're trying to develop, and the connections with congregations that are really doing the groundwork of ministry, of feeding those in their community. We are proud to walk alongside these ministries and to support them in every way we can. And so we thank you for the gifts and we thank you for the givers. In Christ's name, amen. I want to say a little prayer and then open it up for you to offer your prayer requests and your praise reports. Let's pray. God, for the mothers and for all of those people that you have allowed to cross our path. As Bishop was preaching, I was just thinking about all of the people that have mothered me, that have deposited wisdom and insight and love and encouragement and support. I'm thinking of this one person on the street that I grew up on, and how we would sit on her living room floor after school from elementary school, and she would just give us cookies and tell us stories and just love on us, because so many of us in that community were latchkey kids because both of our parents were working 2 and 3 jobs just to survive. She didn't give birth to us. She didn't nurse us. She didn't change our diapers, but oh, what she poured into us. And God, we thank you for all those people that you bring into our lives that pour into us. But they didn't do it just to deposit it and leave it there. They did it so that we can then turn around and pour into the lives of those that we come in contact with. Every person we meet, everyone in our community, everyone in our circle of influence, we have an opportunity to pay it forward and pour into their lives. Love, generosity, hope, compassion, understanding, joy, peace. And so we pause to say thank you for the mothers that gave birth, and thank you for the mothers that nurtured us after we were birthed. God, we pray for those situations where the relationship with mothers haven't been all that good, where there isn't a situation where an ex spouse would stand up and say the kinds of things that Bishop's mom said at a funeral, because so much anger and hatred and resentment is held in the heart because of the relationship they had with their mother. And so, God, we don't want to minimize those experiences, but we ask that you bring about healing on this day, as only you can do. Healing of mothers, healing of daughters, healing of sons, healing of families, as only you can do. God, we pray for those who are living with and receiving treatment for cancer. We pray for our first responders. We pray for those who are in prison, for those who are in nursing homes, for our siblings that are living on the street and eating out of trash cans and wondering where their next meal will come from or when their encampment will be swept and they would be forced to relocate with nothing. We pray for this city and all the cities and around the world that are just being plagued by this injustice of homelessness in America. In America, no one should go hungry. In America, no one should be sleeping on the streets. So we thank you for touching our hearts at Bethel Encino Lutheran Church, that we are actively doing something to minister to our siblings who are on the streets. We're putting feet to our faith. We pray for strength for every person involved in this ministry. We pray for this nation and the nations around the world where there's so much hatred and violence going on, God, that sometimes I choose not to even turn on the television, not to even turn on the radio, because it's so heartbreaking and so heart-wrenching. The pain and the agony, the racism, the sexism, the homophobia that is plaguing our world, the violence. We ask you, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Invite you now as to all.
Cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it for each of his disciples to drink. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you. It's shed for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And now, every day, all over the world, people are remembering this sacrifice, this gift, this promise that Jesus is with us now and forever. And so I invite you to come forward and receive these gifts, the bread and the wine. There's juice in the small little piece here, made holy by us and by God's Spirit coming over all of these things. And just as they are blessed, may you be blessed as we spend this time together at the Lord's Supper. Please come. Thank you.